Well, let's pray. Father God, we ask now that you speak to us through these words of Scripture, the words of Jesus. Speak to our hearts through your Spirit and change our minds, motivate our wills to be people who chase after Jesus rather than the things of the world. Amen. We're starting our new series in Luke's Gospel, and this is the first reading we've come to, and it all seemed to be going so well, didn't it? Started off nicely. We had Jesus appointing his apostles, and then he was doing wonderful acts of healing and teaching, and such beautiful teaching too, didn't you think? Lots of blessings. And then it all changed. The blessings turned to woes. Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort, verse 24. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry, verse 25. As I was preparing this talk, these words of Jesus really unsettled me. I mean, think about it. It would have been fine if Jesus had said something like, woe to you who kill children or who embezzle millions of pounds, because then Jesus wouldn't be referring to me. But what does Jesus say? Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. And as I thought about it, I found these challenging verses, because if we think about it, are we not rich? Are we not well fed? When I had my cereal this morning and opened up the fridge and to get the milk, I saw lots of goodies in there. The fridge was packed full. I expect your fridges are packed full of goodies too. You can check if you're not sure when you get home. But in the West, we're very well fed, aren't we? And we're rich too. Globally speaking, we must be in the top couple of percent in terms of wealth. We all live in houses with central heating, multiple bedrooms, multiple bathrooms. Many of us have multiple television sets. While at the same time, there's families across the globe who are cramming themselves into one-bedroom houses. So let's face it, we're extremely rich. So as we hear Jesus say these things, it is easy to try and rationalise our way out of them, saying things like, well, surely Jesus doesn't mean me. Surely he's talking about those fat cats, those multimillionaires. He can't be talking about me. And I guess if we only had verse 24, maybe we could try and worm our way out of it. But then comes verse 25 and we realise that we are well fed. Because I'm not hungry at the moment. I don't know if any of you are. Probably not. I had a lovely breakfast. I'm looking forward to a lovely lunch. I'm sure you are as well. So is Jesus talking about us here? Well, unfortunately, it sounds like he might be, in which case it's quite scary and challenging. Is Jesus asking us to get rid of all our worldly goods? Is that what he wants from us? Is he asking us to go hungry or inflict pain on ourselves so that we can weep now in order that we might be blessed? What does Jesus want from us, his followers? Well, we're going to find out as we tackle this area of wealth and prosperity this morning. And I want to begin by asking a question. Are wealth and being well-fed necessarily bad things in themselves? And the answer is no, not necessarily. There are many verses in the Bible that tell us such things are a blessing from God. So we'll start there. Wealth is often a sign of blessing from God. If we take Abraham, for example, the Bible says God blessed Abraham with wealth. So in Genesis 24, verse 35, the servant of Abraham says this about him. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, men servants and maid servants, and camels and donkeys. You might not count our wealth in terms of camels and donkeys, but they did back then. And Abraham did all right, and it was blessing from God. Or we could take Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 12. This is what God says to Solomon. Therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given to you. And I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have. I could go on, I could quote from Job. But the point is that wealth and prosperity are often signs of blessing from God. What else does the Bible say about wealth? Well, wealth can also be the result of godly hard work. It's good to work, and it's good to receive a wage. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. The implication there is clear. Now, Proverbs goes on later to say that that is not always the case, but clearly working hard and getting a financial reward is a biblical principle. Wealth is not all bad. And then one of the great benefits of wealth is that we can use it to help others. And as we use it to help others, it brings God glory. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. You will be made rich in every way. Why? Well, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So we can begin by sighing a bit of a relief. Wealth in and of itself is okay. It can be a blessing from God. It can be the result of hard work. And we should thank God and praise him for his generosity shown to us and then show generosity in return. So then why does Jesus say in these verses, "Woe to you who are rich and well fed"? Well, let's move on to some of the dangers of wealth and prosperity. Well, to be more precise, the danger in making worldly wealth a priority. You see, the thing is, wealth, it becomes a sinister and deceitful master. It promises so much, and ultimately it fails to deliver. So, for example, wealth will give us a false sense of security. In a few chapters' time, Jesus in Luke chapter 12 is going to tell us the parable of the rich fool. Remember the parable of the rich fool? Well, hear how Jesus introduces it. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then we get that rather comical tale of the rich man, and he just wants more and more and more. Every time the harvest comes in, he thinks, I don't have enough room. I'm not going to give it away, though. I'm going to build a bigger barn. And next year I'll build an even bigger barn. And it goes on. And then God says, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who is going to get what you have prepared for yourself? And Jesus concludes saying, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but who is not rich towards God. See the danger? Wealth gives a false sense of security. It leads us away from relying on Jesus to relying on ourselves and what we have. We begin to think that our self-worth is not determined on being in relationship with Jesus, but on the amount of possessions we have. It is easy, unfortunately, to fall into this trap. And that is what our first reading was all about. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says, people who want to get rich fall into a trap, but fall into a temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Wealth is a trap. It leads people away from dependence on God. It leads people away from Jesus. And here we come to the real problem with wealth. The more we focus on money, well then the more we focus on what is not important. We forget what is truly important. And Christians can get sucked into this trap. J. James in his letter in the New Testament makes a really stark warning. And the challenge I find is he is speaking to people in the church. So he says this to some Christians in chapter 5. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and your moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. And he goes on to say how you have withheld wages from the workmen who have mowed your fields. So there we go. It's not wealth per se that's the problem. It's how we relate to it and how we use it. And so we have to ask ourselves, well, what is more important to us? Is Jesus and his concerns for justice and the poor important? Or am I more motivated and concerned by wealth and worldly acceptance? But the irony and the danger is that the more wealth we have, the more we're going to want. There's the danger, there's the trap. And the pursuit of wealth and worldly acceptance leads us away from Jesus and what he regards as important, making us obsessed with ourselves, unconcerned for others. In Luke's gospel, though, Jesus turns worldly values upside down and he calls people in the church, Christians, to be counter-cultural. And in saying, blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, Jesus is not condemning the existence of money, nor is Jesus saying that we shouldn't thank God for good food or the opportunity to laugh. Rather, Jesus is challenging our priorities. Too often what we value is determined by what the world thinks rather than what Jesus thinks. And Jesus is really saying, look, I don't want you to be obsessed by whatever you earn or how your investments are doing or what you will be eating for lunch after the service or what is the best restaurant to go to. No, Jesus wants us to be concerned with the things he is concerned with. We see his concerns in verses 17 to 19, don't we? When the crowds come to Jesus, what does he do? Does he give inspirational lectures on wealth and how to get rich? Of course not. He heals people. He goes to those who are physically suffering and he heals them. He goes to those who are spiritually suffering and he heals them. And then he says, blessed are the poor, the hungry, and those who weep. Proverbs 28 verse 6 tells us, it is better to be a poor person whose walk is blameless than a rich person whose ways are perverse. Jesus would rather that we all became poor. He'd rather that we all lost all our money than lose out on his kingdom. Why is that? Why would Jesus rather that we became poor? Because when we have nothing else to depend on, we look to Jesus rather than putting faith in ourselves, our own abilities, and our wealth. But let's face it, all this is not easy, is it, in our culture? Society in the West, it's never been more materialistic. If we watch the TV, the adverts keep trying to persuade us to earn more and spend more and have more. And even these rather sweet TV programmes, and one I quite like, I don't get to watch it that often, is Homes Under the Hammer. I love that programme. But then what is it about at the end of the day? It's about people trying to make some money in doing up houses. But Jesus is interested in our heart attitude rather than focusing on making money. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. The problem, though, in these verses goes beyond money. You might have noticed that. Jesus also talks about seeking worldly acceptance, too. Verse 26, Jesus says, woe to you when all people speak well of you. In the Western world, we don't only worship wealth, we also worship fame. We just want to be loved by other people. We want to be admired. And I think this is a real attack on our youth at the moment. They're brought up watching Britain's Got Talent and The X Factor and the success of rock stars. It's all about trying to look good in the eyes of the world. It's all about how many friends you have on Facebook. And the myth is, the more that I'm loved and liked, the more that I'm famous, well then I will be happy. Unfortunately, we only have to look at the lives of the rich and famous to realise that it ain't true. Do you remember Jim Carrey, who he starred in The Mask and various other films? Quite a character, but he has said this: I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer. I like that quote, but as I thought about it, I thought I only half agree with it. Most people who get rich and famous realise it has not brought fulfilment, but then what do? They are still in the trap. They seek even more wealth and wives and possessions and fame. They don't learn a lesson. They continue to chase after even more. And this is what Jesus is saying here. If you set your heart on the treasures of this world, you will not find fulfillment. You will just get trapped chasing after the unachievable, trying to run to the end of the rainbow for the pot of gold to find it's not there, and you keep on running after what you will never find. And you end up missing out on the kingdom by running in the wrong direction. Instead, Jesus says, fulfillment is to be found by looking to me. And the poor and the hungry are actually far more likely to find it because they've got nowhere else to go but Jesus. The challenge then, at the beginning of 2018, is for us to let go. Not necessarily let go of our wealth, although that might be a good thing, but definitely let go of finding security in the things of this world. Despite our possessions, we need to see ourselves as poor sinners, totally dependent on God. So the question is, are we ready to let go? It's not easy in this culture. Are you ready to let go? Well, as I close, we've seen how it's not money in itself that is evil, but it's the love of money, the chasing after it. When we run after wealth, career, popularity, we will find that Jesus gets pushed out and we end up not being that happy anyway. So these verses expose our heart attitude. What is it that really matters to us? The things of God or the things of this world? Friends, Jesus wants us to see our spiritual poverty. He calls us to be concerned with the things he is concerned with, the physically poor, the needy in the world. He calls us to generously serve them out of the abundance he has given us. And if we do that, we will be truly blessed. Well, let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you that you give us such an abundance of worldly goods. Help us to be generous with what you give us and help them never to become a snare for us. Help us to be willing to let go of being obsessed by such things. Instead, help us to be obsessed with the things you are concerned about. Being in your kingdom, showing love to others, serving the poor and the needy. Because that is the path to true blessing. Amen.